Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another podcast from thewalk.se, the ongoing story about becoming a minimalist vagabond while walking from Stockholm to Sydney. I'm in Tallahassee at the moment, sheltering from the rain, sitting in our house with a very, very kindly couch surfing host that I will introduce you to shortly, and he will actually have the honour of being the first ever guest on one of the Walk's podcasts. Last time I left you, I was in Perry, and I was on my way to Crawfordville, which turned out, for me anyway, to be a two-day walk, and one of those days was a long, hot day with no place to rest or stop, because there's been a lot of rain in this area lately, and the water table is quite high, which means that the forests on the side of the road are quite flooded, which also means that there are a lot of bugs and mosquitoes. So you don't want to go off the main road into the forest because you get eaten alive, basically. Anyway, I left Perry, and that first day was a long day. I think I walked something like 55 kilometers that day, mainly because I couldn't find a place to stop before I'd walked that distance. And even then, it was about 8 o'clock in the evening when the sun was setting, when I finally found a place that I could stop, and it was a tiny little roadway that sort of veered off the main road, and there was a small gate there that I could just pass through, and about 100 yards up there in the middle of the scrub, I basically camped on the road, hoping that there wouldn't be any cars coming. But it was pretty sort of, there was a lot of scrub on the road, and there was a gate, so I figured I would be pretty safe to camp there. Put the tent up almost in the dark, and locked the mule up outside, and crawled inside to get a bit of a sleep. And I was reasonably tired, so I sort of started drifting off pretty quickly, when all of a sudden there were a lot of noise from outside the tent, or what at least what I considered to be a lot of noise when I was lying inside the tent. Some sort of animal was shuffling around outside, and through the scrub it was making a lot of noise. I didn't know what it was, and I couldn't see out through the tent what it was, so I tried to scare it away by shouting out, but nothing much happened really. Whatever it was continued around the tent for the next hour or so. I eventually fell asleep, woke up in the morning, and when I came out and had a look, my guess is that it was an armadillo that had sort of disturbed me the night before, because there were a few new holes around the tent where something had been burrowing, and the only animal that I know in the area that does that is the armadillo. And I've seen a lot of the armadillos as roadkill along the roads as well, so it seemed pretty logical. I wasn't really worried in the tent. I didn't think there were any animals there that were going to harm me. Having grown up in Australia, I'm not all that really scared of alligators. Alligators are just sort of a very, very small, weak version of a crocodile. So I'm not too worried about them. Maybe I shouldn't be too, too tough about that. But at the moment, I wasn't too worried anyway. I got up the next morning, packed my stuff together, and headed off towards Crawfordville, where I was to meet Sheila. Sheila, who I met in Spain. If you've been following me and my wanderings through Europe, you'll know that I met Sheila outside of Calpe on the Spanish coast. And she said at that time that she was coming to America due to a cross America bicycle tour with a ladies cycle touring or ladies touring organization. I can't remember the name of the thing, unfortunately. When I checked schedules the other day, I sort of realized that if I was to head towards Crawfordville, I would be there on the same night that they were going to be there. So I actually booked in to the same hotel where they would be, contacted Sheila, and said that I'd turn up there. And she answered back, glad to hear from me, and said that she'd organize and book with their cook that I'd be able to eat with them. So that was great. I had about 30 kilometers to go before I got to Crawfordville. And so 30 kilometers in a day is pretty easy, especially when you get started early, which you always do when you sleep in the tent. You wake up when the sun rises and you get up and you get going pretty quickly. So I headed off and I took it pretty easy. Again, there wasn't much to see along the road. It was pretty much just forest and swamp along the road, nothing else there at all. But I eventually reached a service station that, after stopping to ask my first interaction with a policeman here in the USA, I stopped and asked a state trooper who was standing alongside the road trying to catch speeding cars if there was a diner or some place to eat somewhere up along the road. And he informed me that there was a service station that had a Subways in it, just sort of a couple of miles up the road. So I wandered up there, found the Subways, and went in for something to eat, basically. So just before I went in, three ladies on bicycles came up, and they all screamed at, "Oh, it's Mats," or "Max." They all said, "Max, it's Max." And it turned out that Sheila told everybody in the whole cycling group, and there's about 30-odd people cycling, that I was turning up, and I was more or less a little bit famous there. So everybody was on the lookout for me. They were having their rest day. This was a Sunday. They were having their rest day. And there wasn't a lot to see around the hotel, so a couple of them had decided to go cycling off to the lighthouse and to the coast to do a bit of sightseeing. And they found me there at the service station. After a bit of breakfast, I continued on and eventually arrived to another small service station, which was probably about 10 kilometers before the hotel. And I stopped there for some ice cream, actually, and met another of the ladies who also recognized me. I'm really famous by this stage. So. And then it was on. I arrived reasonably early, about 3 o'clock maybe, at the hotel, checked in, had a nice warm shower, said hello to Sheila. Sheila actually rode out and met me for the last kilometer. Had a shower, washed some clothes, got a few little bits and things done that I had to get done, and then at 4:30, it was time for drinks and cocktails in one of the rooms. So we met there, and with about half the group, I think, 15, 16 women there, and I drank some red wine, had some fruit, and talked to the people and answered all the usual questions. It was quite nice. It was very, very nice, and they were all very, very interested, and it was really interesting getting to hear their story about their journey. They'd started off in San Diego and are more or less traveling the route that I will be walking. So it was very interesting to see how they had found it, even though they were going on bikes and were much, much quicker than I will be on foot. One problem I've had, it's not a great problem, but I have been wanting to get hold of there's an association called the Adventure Cycling Association that put out a series of maps for different cycle routes. And there's a cycle route called the Southern Tier, which is more or less the route that I'm going to walk towards San Diego. And unfortunately, most of their maps, or their maps are sold in shop, not sold in shops, they're only sold on the internet, and you get them sent to an address. But it's, as I'm walking all the time, I don't have a steady an address they could send it to, and I'd have to organize with a hotel or a couch surfing host or someone that knew that I was arriving in a few days and get them sent there. And when I started talking about that with the ladies there, one of them quickly said that, "Oh, you can have my maps." They all had a full set of maps for the Southern Tier, and one of them said that, "Oh, I'm not going to use it anymore." So they gave me the whole set. So now I'm all set up. I've got maps from almost from here, from Tallahassee all the way to San Diego, if I choose to follow the Southern Tier. So that's really great. Then we all headed off to dinner and met the rest of the group, and they introduced me to everyone, and we had chicken tacos and salad and a really enjoyable evening. And then everybody was off to bed, everybody was tired, and it was an early night. Next morning, it was breakfast with everybody, and I got up and took some photos of them as they left, and they set off towards Perry, and I set off towards Tallahassee. I had been trying to decide the day before if I was going to head towards Tallahassee, which is more or less straight north from Crawfordville, which is in the wrong direction if I want to reach San Diego, or if I was going to head along the coast and go end up in Panama City following the coast all the way around. But I had been in contact with a couch surfing host here, Bill, and I wanted to meet him, and I wanted to come up to Tallahassee. So I decided that, well, I won't worry too much about the coast. I'll be able to follow the coast from Panama City, and I'll be able to follow the coast all the way to Mobile and how do you say it, Bill?
Mobile.
Mobile. Okay, there you are. The proper pronunciation there. So I decided to head up toward Tallahassee, and it was a long, reasonably hot day. I can't remember exactly how far it was. It was like 30 or 40 kilometers. It was more than, I think it was closer to 38 kilometers or something. And I actually arrived after a few telephone calls with Bill. I arrived at his home, and he hadn't arrived from work yet. And I sat down, and I only just sat down and relaxed when Bill turned up. And Bill, and I'll introduce him now, Mr. Bill Davis, my host here in Tallahassee. I've now spent, 3 days here, Bill?
Yeah, I think 3 days, good days.
Three very good days, and Bill has been extremely generous and helpful and shown me around and introduced me to his friends, and I've had a really great time. And the reason that I've stayed here for 3 days, I was only intending to say 2 nights, 1 full day, is that the area all around here, from Pensacola all the way to up here, has had a lot of rain. And in Pensacola, they've had, 24 inches of rain in 48 hours, wasn't it? In 15 hours. That's a lot of rain.
Historical proportions.
Yeah. Roads are washed away, and gas mains have burst, and there's a lot of stuff. And it's been a pretty wet few days, so I've actually been able to relax, and Bill's been taking me around in his car, which is a lot better than walking in the rain. So, thanks, Bill.
Well, it's been my pleasure to show you Tallahassee, a little bit of North Florida.
We've had a good few days. A few things have happened. Yeah. We started off the first night by going and having Mexican.
We did. We had a very good Mexican meal. An opportunity to get to know each other a little bit, which was a real pleasure. And so it gave me a chance to ask you all of the usual questions and hear your answers. And I don't know if they were the usual answers, but they were pleasing to the ear and soul.
Yeah. Well, I think by this stage, my answers probably are starting to get a little bit standardized. But when you talk to someone for longer than just a few minutes, it always gets a bit more complex and involved, and there are different nuances of everything. So, yeah, and I think we've had time to talk quite a bit during these few days. So, and you'll also hear probably, we're sitting at Bill's dining room table, and you'll hear some noises, and it's us sipping some Scotch whiskey, enjoying the evening.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, what did we do then?
I don't really know. Well, we went.
Well, I actually went. No, you drove. We went for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
The local place up here.
We went on a tour of some of the some of the alternative culture things here out of the mainstream. We looked at the food cooperative, the bicycle cooperative.
Yeah, the bicycle cooperative. That's right. Yeah. We were planning or thinking about. Bill had suggested that we go on a river cruise, but there were so many thunderstorms, and apparently the cruises go even if it's raining, but when the thunderstorms and there's lightning, they don't go. So called a few times and checked through the day, but it wasn't on. So what we actually did end up doing, which I found very interesting, is I got a very, very nice tour of the political and justice system in Tallahassee, or in Florida, I should say.
That's right. That's one of the highlights of Tallahassee, being the state capital. We have the all three of the branches of the state government are located here. So we got a chance to see all three.
Yeah.
And indeed, one of them was in full force of operation. We got to see a bit of the goings on.
Yeah, some of the political machinations behind the scene.
Yes, yes, and then and the lobbyists and things like that. There's people talking in the elevator in an obscure fashion about it, you know.
What was going on? It was a what was that session called?
Well, we saw the legislative branch of the government. There's three branches, and the legislative branch is similar in some ways maybe to the House of Parliament. Mm-hmm. And this is called the House of Representatives. And we came in there near the last day of their session. They were on May 1st. They discontinue for about 8 months. So they were in a hurry to consider and pass as many laws as the majority wished to have enacted. And so we observed that the minority asking questions in an effort to clarify what they thought was perhaps the true intent of the law. So it was entertaining for sure.
Yeah. And then we headed over to the courthouse.
The Florida Supreme Court.
The Florida Supreme Court. Gee, that sounds really
It is very, very important. Yeah. You know, Florida is a very large state, and under the U.S. system of government, a great deal of what goes on in people's daily lives is decided at the state level. And the Florida Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of the legality of how the laws are implemented, or even if the statutes that the House of Representatives enacts are legal under the Florida Constitution. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun going in there, going through the security and going to the library in the Florida Supreme Court, seeing all their old things.
And the library there was very interesting. You had talked previously when we'd been talking, you'd mentioned that there's a book there from, do you remember the date that book was from?
No, I don't, mm-hmm. but it was clearly before the United States Civil War. Yeah. It had been around 1840 or 1830.
And I've actually got a picture of it. I'll post that on the blog, and the people that are watching this through or listening to this through Acast will be able to see it. It's a picture of a ledger book where they actually take up the different assets of the entire state of Florida, and they list assets as in land and machinery and how many people live here and blah blah, and they put a monetary value on the slaves. And the interesting thing, maybe not so, I don't know about interesting is the right word, but the thing is that the monetary value of the slaves was higher than the value of the land.
That's right. Yeah. It was really astounding to see. And of course, with inflation, we have to adjust, but they valued, as I recall, all of the land in Florida as something like $19 million. And all of the slaves is $25 million, approximately $500 per slave. They didn't say per person because they didn't want to think of them, I suppose, as people. Yeah. When I had seen that before one time with the curator of the library, he observed, he said, well, no wonder they fought a war if they saw the slaves as being worth more than all the land in their state in those days, that being, of course, the Civil War.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. So I will post the picture of that book. So it should be on there.
And you remember we went by the governor's house.
We did,
The governor's mansion.
Yeah.
And looked and crept around and kind of went beyond the gates into the oldest, the governor's mansion from before the Civil War.
Yeah, actually felt a little bit illegal there. There were big sort of roadblocks, but they weren't to keep cars out, so it was apparently totally okay to
perfectly
walk
legal. It just didn't look that way. But it was.
And we also went up into the top floor of the new building.
Yes, mm-hmm. we did 22 stories up, but much higher, really, because it's on top of the hill. Yeah. And we were doing a lot of these inside things, of course, because of the
staying
weather.
Out of the rain. Yeah,
but we could see. On a clear day, we would have been able to see all the way to the coast of Florida and see actually the lighthouse at the Gulf of Mexico from the Tallahassee capital. Yeah. But we saw all those trees and which were beautiful from the top and the misty rain.
Yeah. And then we went down, did we go to the coffee house after that?
We went to the coffee house because we wanted a little pick us up, a little caffeine.
Yeah, we needed that.
We needed that on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that was very pleasant. All the bohemian people mixed in with the students studying for their final exams at the university nearby.
Yeah, it's very obvious that Tallahassee is a political and a university town or college town. And because it's very quiet at the moment, there's a large transient population with the politicians and lobbyists and people working with that, and they are sort of closing down at the moment.
They're in their last days, and the lobbyists and their support staff, and they all go back down to the big cities of Florida. And the students are finishing their final exams or they're graduating, and they're going to be going away. They are going away, so it's a sort of a quiet time is coming. Is actually emerging here, and a little bit of very little traffic is compared to the more active time. It's nice.
It is nice. It's a nice town. It's actually got some hills, which is the first time I've seen that in Florida. It's been very flat, which makes nice walking with the mule, naturally, but it becomes a little bit boring. And there are some nice green hills. There's a proper pine trees, and there's
oak trees with the Spanish moss hanging down.
Oak trees with the Spanish moss, which looks very southern to anyone that's ever watched American movies. That and the marshes beside the road also very southern to anyone that's sort of been watching many American movies. And then we went to dinner, didn't we? Was that?
We did.
And we had a bit of a snafu there, and something happened.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. That was entertaining. That was entertaining. Social snafus and things.
Mm. Well, it started off, we left that we got locked out of the house.
Yes, we did. There were some work being done on the house, and my very top secret stash key, the backup of all keys, was not in place. And just with the confusion with all of us here, you and I, we managed to lock ourselves out, and we realized that just as we went out the door.
We closed the door.
And then we went to meet a friend for dinner, who was very excited to meet you, Mats. And we were going to have our conversation because she very much wanted to ask you, the usual questions. And lo and behold, we ran into some business acquaintance, and they joined us. We didn't talk as much. We didn't really get to those questions, did we?
No, and your friend Terry that wanted to meet me didn't really get a chance to ask the questions she wanted to ask.
No, she did not. No.
Oh, well. That's
but it was fun. It was kind of fun in a way.
It was an interesting evening, definitely.
Yeah. We came back to the locked house, and we had the locksmiths come. That was entertaining.
It was interesting. We actually, you had arranged by phone for the locksmiths to come and open the door, and we... So we got the lawn chairs out, and we're sitting outside in the front of the house waiting for them to arrive. So that was quite interesting.
It was nice fresh air, and if you have a good spirit, or you adapt a good spirit, I should say, you can make a lot of things fun that otherwise would be stressful. We did.
Oh, but that turned out well. So, and then the next day I was planning to leave.
That's right.
But the weather, that's when the really bad weather came through.
We keep looking at the radar, and these horrible-looking red bands of storm are making their way across the what we call the panhandle of Florida in our direction. And, no one wants to start out into the teeth of a storm. And so it's so glad that, I'm glad to have you stay.
Yeah, it's been great.
I've really enjoyed talking to you about just about everything that we've talked about. Very early on was interested in a lot of the technical things. Let me ask you a question. One of my early questions was backpack. Why do you have the mule versus the backpack? Is that a usual question?
Yes, in some ways, because most people generally assume if they don't see the mule, if they just sort of hear about the project, about the walk, they assume that I have a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most common sort of
thing. Right.
And then when the mule, I don't know if they often ask straight out why the mule, but it sort of comes up somehow in mm-hmm. the discussion, mm-hmm. and it's.
Well, that was I really enjoyed learning about that. You remember Terry? So mm-hmm. Terry, who did not have an opportunity to ask the usual questions and whatever yeah. one she had, so she organized.
She organized a lunch the next day.
Another meeting for yeah. lunch.
So we
brought out some other people so they yeah. could yeah. ask the. Questions.
The usual question. No. It actually wasn't a usual question. It was a deeper question. And we met at a Cuban cafe. And I had a Cuban sandwich. It was a very nice Cuban sandwich and then beans and rice. So it was a nice lunch. And do you remember the question?
I do. It was interesting. The young woman who professed to do a lot of backpacking mm-hmm. and she... You want me to discuss yeah. questions in some detail? Because it yeah. was a good, really
yeah, it was
good,
a good question.
Absolutely. She had, I believe, read an article or had talked to someone or heard about someone who had served two tours of duty in the war in Afghanistan. And of course, I won't say of course, but had experienced a lot of psychologically traumatic things. And, returned to the United States to society and was found that by going on a difficult backpacking hike, say on the Appalachian Trail in the mountains, found this to be curative, mm-hmm. found it to be an experience where he could confront his experiences and process them and actually overcome what might settle into being post-traumatic stress disorder or something, which is probably, you know, you would think it's probably a pretty common phenomenon. So she asked you if for you this was that kind of experience. And she went further, though. She was more specific, I yeah. think. She said, what do you think about? That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? Was this an unusual question? She said, what do you... I'm asking you that, too. Mm-hmm. But what her question was, what do you think about? What goes through your mind yeah. when you're out there for this time walking? And she asked that question in the context of confronting one's demons.
Yeah. It's a good question.
It was a great question.
And we had a bit of a discussion about it, and I don't really know if I've ever written so much about it on the blog, but I mean, when you walk for such a long time, you invariably start thinking about everything. You think about everything you've ever done, everything you've ever wanted to do, and you rethink it, and you think about how you handled situations and how you could have done differently and blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, you rehash everything in your whole life. And I think in most cases, it is a sort of forced meditation that is very, very beneficial in most cases, unless you're the sort of person that gets hooked up in minutiae and can't sort of let things go. I think it's sort of a very beneficial meditation form or a way to work through your inner demons. But then I also said that I'm not sure, and this would be interesting to hear what the friends that know me a little bit better would say about this, that I don't feel that I've changed such a lot by doing this walk. I think that I have a reasonably stable personality and character, and I don't really have a lot of inner demons that I've sort of had to work with while doing this. I've been able to more just try to relax into it in another way. And that's the way I see it, and it'd be really interesting to see if my friends see it another way.
Well, you know, I loved that question. Actually, I loved the answer. I really thought that was great because you know, one of the things you did say was that your experiences in life, and I'm saying perhaps, or maybe you mentioned in my childhood or whatever, you didn't have traumatic events as others might have had, you know. You didn't have some horrible things occur in your childhood, or you didn't have to go to war and fight in the trenches and things like that. And so I think you said that I don't confront demons on the walk. But then you said, I think you think about everything you've ever done and everything that you want to do, which is a very healthy thing and a pleasant thing and a pleasing thing. And then you have a meditation. And because I think there might be people who would imagine that someone who is on the walk like that you're on is out to prove a point, which is not the case. I observed that directly, or is out promoting a cause, but really some other thing is going on there, and I don't think that's happening. But I think that you're just going on this wonderful long walk that happens to afford you the opportunity to meditate and not ruminate.
No,
you know, you have you. I think that's what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
You are outside of yourself. You're not centered in. You have to be outside because you're literally outside.
Yeah.
And you have the mule ahead of you, and you have bumps in the road, literally, and need to think about where you're going to stay the night. When we were talking about fishing earlier, it's similar in the sense that you're focused on the task.
Yeah.
Somehow the task is a liberation from rumination, to make a nice rhyme.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it becomes very central and very easy. The things that have to be decided are very, very now. They have to be done now, and they have to be decided, and they're very physical. They're very sort of, there's not a lot of leeway. It just has to be decided, and you just do it, and it's very much living in the moment. That's a
good exercise.
It is good exercise, I think. I don't know that I'm all that great at it yet. I think I would have thought by this time that I would have been even better at living in the moment than I am. And I think I've mentioned that a few times before, that it is difficult. It's a difficult sort of stage of mind to reach. I'm not sure. I think it's one of the things I want to be able to do before the walk's finished. But I've got another 1.5 to 2 years to go, so I've got some more practice time there.
Well, it reminds me of a few minutes ago, before we did this podcast, I referred to a film called Buddha, and it makes me think that, perhaps you'll complete your walk and say, okay, it's really the walk of life, you know? There's a song by Dire Straits, Walk of Life, I think what you're doing is sort of, if you will, a minimal version of the walk of life. It's a metaphor. This is I was saying to you earlier, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to say this on your podcast. I think that what you're doing is a service to others who are aware or choose to be aware of what you're doing. And this is why people are supportive of it. They want to help you do it. You were wondering, well, why do people want to donate or quote unquote or support you on this? They may not know. We may not know. But I think that you represent, or I should say, your task, and your exercising of that task represents metaphorically what, or concretely, I mean, a lot of people like to go on this walk. A lot of people would like to have this experience. So I don't want to read too much into it. I've been talking too much at this point, but it is metaphorically, and in fact, actually, in some respects, a sort of a spiritual exercise.
Yeah, it is. It's I don't know if I'd choose the spiritual label.
The quotes around that. I'm not a religious person, I will confess.
Yeah. but there is definitely the pilgrimage type of feeling around it, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we don't expect you to come back with any stone tablets with some commandments, please.
That's good, because stone tablets are heavy. And I don't want to carry more than necessary. I'm a minimalist.
It will be a one-word commandment. You can focus on that, please.
Be good. Yeah, there it is.
Be good, have fun.
It isn't really more complicated than that. Be good. Oh, geez, I just realized that's a Google thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope not. Don't tell me that. I always say, be good, have fun.
Yeah, but Google has a motto like that.
Okay, forget that for now.
Okay. But then we continued on and had a nice evening. We came back here and took it easy for a while. And then what did we do then? We actually went to... we went down to a scuba graduation party.
We did. Yeah. Went to a scuba class graduation party at a professor's house, an instructor's house.
Well, your instructor that you learned to scuba dive from?
That taught me, and he teaches most people who start something new like that are younger people.
Yeah.
And but he taught me late in life, and because I just found him here at the university where he was positioned, and... So it was a happy coincidence. He likes to have some of the older people come back when he's having a graduation party, and he knew you were visiting because I'd posted on the internet something about my couch surfing guest. So that was
interesting. It was a nice thing. We were there for an hour or an
hour and a half and had some nice munchies and talked to some people. Some people very excited because they learned how to breathe underwater.
Yeah, exactly.
Be weightless.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun, scuba diving. I've never been certified, but I have scuba dived a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I have snorkeled quite a lot, so I know the feeling. It's it's great. Mm-hmm. And then we went to cat night.
We went to cat night. We really were cognizant that it was going to be cat night. We thought it was going to be more science night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we knew it was going to be the... science about cats.
Yeah, it was going to be. Apparently, it's called. What was it called? The place.
The place is called Waterworks.
Waterworks, and they have a science night where they have different speakers come and talk on different scientific subjects, and it can vary greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And they have also on Wednesdays they have cat night. They have
cat night. Science night was usually on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Wednesday they have regularly a cat night.
And cat night is they actually show on the big screen a selection of funny cat videos from YouTube.
Yes.
And they were actually quite funny.
They were. Of course, there must be a billion.
Yeah.
So the curator, if you will, the proprietor of the place, he or someone on his behalf calls out the finest of them and edits them down to their essence and plays them. I've never been there, but we got to experience Cat Night after Science Night transition.
And they'd moved the Science Night to Wednesday, and because they were going to have somebody come and talk about cats, and there was a local veterinary came in and gave a talk about cats. It wasn't very motivating. She just rambled a lot of. There was a lot of facts and it was blah blah blah.
So it wasn't high science.
Yeah, that wasn't the funniest part, but it was an interesting night. And then we left there, and we went to a comedy club.
We went to a comedy club. No cover. No, in other words, it didn't cost anything to get in.
No.
It was all free, and anyone can go up and try out their stand-up comedy by sort of registering with the host. So we got to see...
when we got in there, the first thing that meant is we walked in the door and we hear somebody saying, now, is abortion genocide? And then he started from there.
He started from there. And that was the highlight of the comedy.
Yeah.
Like a lot of comedy, I guess it was semantics, but juxtaposed. And frankly, that discussion was kind of funny. with the irony, but yeah.
It was a good. It was a mixture of people, both male and female, and yeah, there was a fairly mix, and there was a mix of the quality as well. Some of it was pretty poor, and some of it was all right, and some of it was quite fun. Yeah. Unfortunately, the headliner, the last act of the night, she bombed, didn't she?
Yeah, she bombed. But you know what I like about those is is that generally. Even if they're not funny, it's amusing to watch.
Yeah.
Because you do have there's a lot of diversity, socioeconomic diversity, some age diversity. Yeah. Mostly they were younger, all eager to, I think they seemed, all of them seemed eager to make it in the profession.
Yeah.
But yes, the last one, bombed. And
but you'd seen her before, and
I had seen her before. Yeah. She's been better, and that's why she was the last one, because she'd been better before. They were giving her the opportunity to close,
and she didn't. But she didn't utilize it.
No, it was we were ready to hit the road. When she concluded,
your friend Tim. We'd met him at Waterworks
at Cat Night.
And his car didn't start, so he had to walk from Waterworks down to the comedy club. What was it called, the bar?
Birds. I have to say the whole name. That's very important to say the entire name, because it's Birds Aphrodisiac Oyster Bar.
Oyster Bar, that's right.
And the oysters there are not especially aphrodisiac-ish. But oysters generally are reputed to be that, so they took that name on.
And he had tried to call us, or call you.
He had tried to call.
And you thought you'd left your phone in the car.
Yes.
And but anyway, he walked up, and we were able to help him start. You had started cables in the car.
Jumped the cables. We went back to the waterworks where his car was.
And it started up first go.
It started it outside. Now, the waterworks, by the way, we remember the windows in waterworks.
Yeah, with the water running down them.
Yeah.
It wasn't really necessary yesterday.
No, but that's true. But part of the affect of this place is like it's a tiki bar. Yeah. Everything inside has, straw roofs or something like it.
And I should clarify that a tiki bar is something that I found out what it is here since coming here to Florida. It means it's an outside bar, the sort of bar that you have around a pool or something in it. Yeah.
Maybe so, with palm fronds.
Palm fronds and straw
roof made of
something
leaves.
Like that, So that it looks, the interior is done up with straw and leaves, and it looks like
it was running water on the windows. Yeah. But it was, yes, as you said, it's been raining every day, almost all day since you arrived here.
And then we couldn't find your phone, and we drove back home here. And I tried to call your phone, and nothing happened.
We went inside, and I said, "I believe I left my phone here." And
yeah.
They said they really didn't think so, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
And then we came back here, and I tried to call the phone, and nothing much happened. And then all of a sudden, I got a call from your telephone, and it was actually somebody at Waterworks,
a customer.
A customer had found it and had called the last number to call it, and said they were there, and you took off and went and got it.
Okay, well, took off and went and got it.
Yeah.
And went in there, and the first person I saw was the staff person who said, "We don't have it."
Yeah.
But then I sent Michelle or whoever it was who talked to you.
Yeah,
it was all lickety-split. Boy, I tell you, it's been quite a time. Yeah. Everything, we've had a few obstacles, overcome them all quite well.
I really like the diversity of what we've done from the different places we've been to, from the Supreme Court to a stand-up comedy bar. I mean, it's great. It's a great diversity. Yeah. We've done everything.
We saw the governor's mansion, the Supreme Court, and the House of Representatives, and we saw Cat Night at Waterworks and free open microphone almost, stand-up comedy at Bird's Aphrodisiac Oyster Bar.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone the High Court Supreme Judge.
The Chief Justice.
Actually calling out, "Hello, Bill, how are you?" To listening to a lady complain about how fresh batteries in her dildo is too much.
I think I repressed most of her. But that was remarkable to have the Chief Justice say, hey, Bill, over the railing in the court. Yeah. And we went through security there. Yeah. That was good. That was fun. Yeah. I'll digress for a minute there, but it's been a great visit. I've really enjoyed having you here.
Oh, thanks. It's been great being here. And I have to say, you've been a very gracious host. It's been excellent. So, and we'll see tomorrow. We don't know. You might not be rid of me yet. I'll have to check the weather tomorrow.
I don't know.
As it is now, I will start walking tomorrow, even if it's raining, as long as it looks like there's no thunderstorms coming through, because... Ooh, I've been here way too long now. I want to get some miles.
Yeah, you must be restless.
I'm getting restless. You know, in the one place for 2 or 3 days in a row, that's a long time. Mm-hmm.
You have a little bit of a walk ahead of you, don't you?
Yeah, and that's actually interesting. On Monday, I hope now, if I walk reasonably well, to be reaching Panama City on Monday evening. And Monday is day 365 of the walk. Tuesday morning, the walk turns 1 year old. It's a big moment in time for all of humanity.
I wish I could be there with you to toast you on your way with a good, stiff cup of coffee.
Yeah. So hopefully, weather permitting, tomorrow morning I am going to get up, and tomorrow morning it will be Friday morning. Yes, it's Thursday today. So I'll get up Friday morning, and it's the 2nd of May tomorrow, and make my way towards Panama City. And well, thanks for everything, Bill. It's been really, really great. And what a great, great first guest.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And remember, keep walking.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.